57 degrees. Balmy. With all the dampness in the air, it actually feels colder, but that's just my opinion. Good morning, W8RCY. I'll just be listening this morning. Not in the mood to say much, but to give you a hint why I'm not saying much, I will be attending breakfast Saturday morning and not be somewhere else. Okay. I guess you don't want to elaborate, but, Morning, Dakota. Good morning, gentlemen. Why is it wet again? And 57 degrees. With the rain you had today out here, and me being this forest backing up to my area here, it's damp out here, and I was outside about an hour ago, and I could just, you know, it's 55, something like that, and the breeze coming through, it was kind of cool. And I would usually sleep with the windows open, and I have yet done that so far. I think only once have I ever slept with the windows open so far since the weather broke. So that's the reason why I'm, like, upset about the weather, too, besides everything else that's happened in the last 24 hours. But, yeah, it's just damp. There's just this dampness in the air, and it just makes it feel cold. Sean? Well, I got, I'm going to be on the road all day today, just bouncing around from site to site. I have to visit every single one of our sites. Well, actually, we did half of them yesterday, but I'm going to visit the other half in the south end today. So hope the rain isn't too bad. They said it was going to be light rain, so shouldn't be too bad. They're too mucky. And most of the mucky sites are in the north end. Most of the ones in the south end are pretty good as far as muck goes, so should be okay. That's my day. I got missed it pretty much my whole drive in, and now that I've hit the southern side of 26, it seems to be clear skies and dry, so hopefully it holds off. I'm redoing my driveway again for the second time in a year, so I'll be out of work at, hopefully by 1 and then heading home. One last question for Sean. How many toll sites are there in the county?
Well, if you're just counting my 800 system, which is the primary focus of our work, there's 14. I have several other sites that are not related to my 800 radio system, but 14 specifically related to my 800 radio system.
Okay, I was just always wondering, and, you know, I'm trying to figure out how they're spread out. I mean, I know where a couple sites are. I've seen them, you know, in my travels. But, yeah, I'm just wondering how many there were overall. All right, gentlemen, carry on. I'm just going to be sandbagging. I got stuff I got to take care of on the other end of the world. So, everybody have a great day. I hope you don't deal with too much muck. Did you bring your muck locks with you? Just in case. All right. W8RCY will be just monitoring.
Okay, Donald. We'll see you on Saturday then. I guess you can fill me in or not on what's going on. So talk to you then. Yeah, so driveway again. So you got them out. I guess I'm wondering, I know you had the bulldozer and the dirt and all that. Did that whole saga ever finish up? I know you were waiting to get time or somebody to get some time to come out and do it. How did that all pan out, or is that still in progress? I think at this point it's going to be a work in progress all summer. The rain is what's killing us. We got to let the yard dry out before you start pushing in. There's going to turn into a huge mess. So, dozers still on site, dirt still in piles. And then because of all the gravel trains that drove over the driveway, it destroyed it. So now I have two gravel trains of asphalt milling coming. Rebuild the whole driveway, and I've got a skid steer at the house. I'm going to do it all myself this time, and it's costing a third of what it cost to pay the other guy. So, lesson learned, but it was an opportunity and a convenience that kind of needed to be done, so we kind of didn't have a whole lot of choice. But at least this time, I'm doing it, doing it right, to be done, and hopefully we don't have to do it again. Yeah, I guess. Oh man, that's gonna be a bear. Hopefully it won't detract from your summer. You can still do stuff waiting for the dirt to get pushed. When's the end? Is it Qdoba? God, don't say Chipotle. I eat that like twice a week. I don't think it was Chipotle. I'll look it up. But it's one of these. But you know what? It's the same recipe. You know, they make these ginormous burritos and they stuff them with rice and beans and all sorts of things. You know, that are, you know, any one of those is, you know, carb heavy and But, you know, there's just these massive burritos just loaded up with cheese and beans and rice and all this stuff. And you can bet that even if you're not getting the one that they pointed out, you know, you're probably looking at a couple of thousand calories. There's one thing I've learned is you can't eat out for cheap and you can't eat out and eat healthy at the same time unless it's like a specialty place that takes pride in making food that's not terrible for you. You know, I'd like to think a chain could open, like a fast food chain that's specialized in things that were good, you know, better for you. You know, it wouldn't have to necessarily, you know, be diet foods or all that, but have a lot of options. And, you know, for instance, over and over again, when you're trying to find out if you do a search for, you know, what can I get at fast food restaurants that's decent, you'd be surprised. You know, like McDonald's, the classic Egg McMuffin, I don't know about the sausage McMuffin, but the Egg McMuffin is pretty damn good. It's not bad. It's like 330 calories or 320, and it's not loaded with fat. It's, you know, it's got a pretty good balance of carbs and protein and all that stuff. It's a pretty good choice. And the other one that is surprising, if you just need something to take the edge off to get to your decent food, is a bean burrito from Taco Bell. And that also has the distinction of having exactly the daily recommended amount of fiber, which, man, I can't tell you how much fiber helps battling weight gain and sugar and all that other stuff. But now, you know, they suggest you get it fresco style or whatever instead of, but, you know, if you don't do that, it's a little less good for you. But it's not bad, you know, even in its original form. I think they just sub the fresco sauce for the cheese. But bean burrito is another go-to. But, you know, my biggest problem is, you know, one bean burrito is enough. And, you know, one Egg McMuffin. You know, so that you gotta fight that battle as well, because, you know, two or three of anything is gonna defeat the purpose. I watched a thing a while back. It was like a documentary on the well, actually has full-time nutritionists that develop the ventilator. I think that's why they have, you know, 15 ingredients and they just make different things out of it, because it's kind of geared. From what I've read and gathered, talking about is the best way to eat garbage as far as macro and nutrients. But I'm with you, right? I'm not gonna eat a bean burrito or a McMuffin. If I'm eating, I'm hungry. It's not because I want a snack. So that's my other problem. I'll eat two of those or three of those, and I'm like, okay, now I'm good. Yeah, you know, everything depends on your activity level, right? So, you know, K rations are about 2,000 calories, you know, because they need fuel, because they're humping, you know. They're humping a lot of gear and stuff like that. So, you know, in the military, you know, you get a lot of calories. And, you know, that's what fuels, you know, because you're humping it. If you're not doing that, then you got to adjust, right? And, you know, you might only be able to do 2,000 for an entire day, let alone one meal. So, you know, that your activity level is going to have everything. That's why exercise is such a key component. You know, you got to find the combo that works. You can eat more, but you got to work out more. But if you work out more or are more active, then you got to eat more. You know, it's like this vicious cycle. The key is finding the right amount, you know, for the amount of activity level that you do. But, I have found that the trick for me when I was doing really, really good was figuring out how much did I need to be satisfied. And I found that, you know, my eyes told me I needed 2 McMuffins, but I found that if I said, no, I'm just going to get one, I found, you know what, that did the trick. I just, you know, I just had to give it time, and that did the trick. Now I'm fine, and that tied me over until I get to lunch. And then at lunch, you know, learning how much was enough to get me to dinner. And then at dinner, you know, I could, you know, prepare a much better, you know, food. So that was a real learning experience for me, learning how much was enough.
Yeah,
it's no reflected, so the antenna, you know, appears to be okay. So are those jumpers, like you said, are they like me bringing a patch cable? They're 3 feet long or 4 feet long or a foot long or whatever, and you just got to swap them out? Yeah, well, if there's a bad one, you gotta figure out which one it is, and you know, if nothing is out of tune or nothing else is wrong, you know, I went off there the other day and I didn't have any tools with me. I just happened to be in the area and I swung in, so I just kind of had a weak signal come in on the receiver, and I just kind of jiggled the cables a little bit and see if I could get it to come and go. That's sometimes you're quick, you know, tap and find it. You know, troubleshooting techniques. Of course, I didn't get lucky. You know, I figured that would be tough. Well, I mean, I didn't really care into it. I just, a couple of spots I checked, a couple of obvious jumpers. But now I got to, you know, the first trick is for me to determine that's what it is by doing a proper descent test. And if I determine that's, you know, what is actually going on, then, you know, then I start a systematic troubleshooting. But, you know, could be a jumper or a connector or something like that, you know. Shouldn't be tuning, right? I mean, tuning on those is pretty bulletproof, so, you know, I don't know about that. So, I don't know. I just have to go in and check it out. I'm a little suspect of the antenna connector on the hard line. I never was really happy. They're weird ones I've never seen before. And I don't have the proper tools to dress out the cable, and I've never installed these kinds. They're real popular in the cellular industry right now, and the guy that put them in, I don't think put them in right, so, because they spin on the end of the cable, and I'm like, that can't be right. So that could cause a lot of trouble, you know, so. But, you know, you think that would manifest in the power out / reflected power, you know, that would manifest in the transmitter as well, so. But maybe not, you know, I mean, it could be there's just a lot of power leakage or something causing receiver descents. I hate speculating about these because, you know, it's like you need to get in there and test things and with test equipment and do it properly. You know, speculating on the air makes you sound stupid as you guess things that are not likely.
Well, I think you've seen enough to speculate. I think you've kind of earned that, right? I would love to have a tenth of your knowledge in RF just to understand it a little better.
It's voodoo and black magic, I tell you.
That's what I run with. It still blows my mind that radios do what radios do. And the fact that we were able to figure out how to do radio things.
Be careful. That's what happened to me. I got just enamored with the whole process, so I started looking into the pioneers of radio. The Men Who Made Radio is a series on PBS. I've got it on. I have it on DVD. Excellent, excellent series. I think I found a link to it and I posted it. But you know, just how amazing. You know, just in you know, we our grandparents. You know, you've seen it through, at least mine. You know, hold on, I got to order my coffee here. All right, just ordered my quad espresso. So, or four shots. I should just be able to pull up and say four shots. But, so I started getting into it and started watching these pioneers, you know, and all this wonderful stuff, and Edward Armstrong, he's my hero. That guy right there is just, he's a beast, and they screwed him. He was the brains, man. Everybody else, they were more marketers and, you know, people that, you know, but that's always been the case. You know, we have that today. You know, the geniuses that actually, you know, do you think I like Bill Burr, he said once, he goes, you think Steve Jobs came up with the iPhone? No, he walked into a bunch of guys and he said, I want my music collection on this device. You know, and then he comes out and says, look what I made. And I said, that's how it works. You know, but, you know, the, you know, Edward Armstrong was one of the guys. He did it. It was him. And then, of course, you know, guys like Sarnoff and them, they screwed him.
It sounds like a good watch or good reading to dig in on this, because I still don't really know anything about the history of it. Like, the whole, put it this way, I don't understand how tube radios work.
I mean, in their most basic sense, they're like a valve. They actually called them valves. And the valve was, you know, you got one of the leads is like the faucet handle. And then you've got the water supply on one side, or, you know, whatever the liquid is or whatever on the valve. And then you've got the side you want to regulate the, you know, and then you take the handle, and this is transistor theory as well. Basically, this is very, very, very thousand mile. But, you know, you can control the handle, and then you can tell it how much flow you want through the valve. And that's kind of like what a tube did. They even called them valves. And, you know, and then transistors later, you know, kind of replaced them and did the same thing. But then it gets involved from there, because you put in extra, you know, extra grids and stuff, you know, for extra inner screens and stuff, and get into, you know, amplification. You know, so it gets a little bit involved. But basically, you know, at the most basic level, they're like a water valve, and you control the handle as the small voltage, and then you can control like a big flow of, you know, water or electrons in this case through it.
And what year, generation, decade did they figure all this out?
Oh man, the first receivers, you know, it was all sparked up in the teens. So I would say, you know, the teens and the 20s, probably they were still running at the end of, in World War One, they were still running spark dip. So I'd say the 20s, things exploded. And they came out with, like, regenerative receivers where they would take a single tube regen, and that was the first use. So I would say somewhere, like, in that teens, 20s, and probably the 20s, you know. And everything just went from, they went from, like, 0 to 100 in the 20s. And, you know, you know, but developments were still coming, just one after another, you know. And I mean, you could talk to people that were today, right now. You could talk to people. And of course, they've gotten extremely old, but you could probably have, you know, in your lifetime, people were alive at the beginning of this.
That's the fascinating part, is the evolution of technology. And I feel like this is kind of the start of it, right? I mean, this was one of the first major, I say technology, but technology is a very broad term. But technology in this space of evolution, where it kind of kick-started everything to where we are now. And I feel like it was so rapid. And then now we're kind of just, you know, now we're at AI. Like, that evolution of new things that are awesome and insane. And it's like, how did we come up with this? Has now transitioned into modern day software computing and AI. But that's what blows my mind, is like, they had like next to nothing to develop this, and then they blew it up.
Yeah, sorry about that. Some sort of snafu at the Starbucks window. She's sitting there pounding away on her screen, trying to. She had my coffee in her hand, just out of my reach. And she kept pounding on her screen. I'm like, well, just give me the damn thing, because she had already scanned my phone. And then finally, after tapping on the screen and pounding on the screen and dangling my coffee just out of my reach, she comes back out. She says, I need to scan your phone again. I'm like, oh, okay. So it didn't take. I see. But anyhow, yeah, so I fascinated when, you know, what got me was, like, when I first got into the hobby, about where you are in the hobby right now, for me was, like, the early 90s, and those guys were alive, man. I mean, a lot of those guys that invented everything, the guys that literally went from nothing to, you know, to something, you know, they were still living. It was crazy, you know, and it was like to think that, you know, here I am doing all this cool stuff with radio, and it's gotten even bigger, you know, and even more exciting, you know, with SDR and everything, the stuff you can do on radios now. It's like you have no idea how good it is, man, compared to, I mean, it was great when we got in, really. I mean, the radios were fantastic, but now it's like, oh, my God, what you can buy for a grand. Jeez, oh, Christ. And but those guys, the guys that invented the first ones and stuff like that were still kicking, you know, in the 80s and 90s. Wow. You know, that's just crazy to think.
All right. So let me ask you this then. When you got into the hobby and you were starting to do radio and all that, obviously there's been improvements in the technology, right? But in my opinion, radio itself has not changed. You know, the bands and the frequencies and all that, they've been around forever. Have you noticed a substantial increase in the ability to operate and talk on the radio? Take out repeaters. I'm talking like just HF, right? Like World War One when they had radios and whatnot. From then to now, do you think it's substantially better or do you think it's marginally better, you know, like the bells and whistles, like you said, of SDR and things like that?
Yeah, they can, you know, with an SDR, the selectivity and the sensitivity, you know, has gotten crazy. The radios have always been very sensitive, but it was the things like how did they operate amongst other stations? So it's your contesters or even your DXers to some degree. They don't have the adjacent stuff as much, but that's where the real improvements have been made. You know, the guys would try to find radios that could operate amongst other radios, you know, or they could dig out, you know, some DX way buried in the dirt. The average user probably doesn't notice a whole lot of benefit, you know. You know, the thing is, the, you know, notches work so much better now, and bandwidth is so flexible now. You know, in the past you needed analog, you know, circuits to, you know, to get your bandwidth choices or crystal circuits, and you know, you had to pick, and now you can have, you know, almost an infinite, you know, bandwidths, and the sensitivities and the selectivities are just incredible. And then, you know, add to that, you got a fish finder, you know, so you can see your signals popping up all over, and you got an automatic notch filter. You don't even think with it anymore, and you know, some of these automatic noise limitings, you know, can take a signal that you couldn't even dig out of the dirt, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, and now you can hit a button and it'll clean it up. Is it earth-shattering? Probably not. A really good radio from back then is still going to be a pretty damn good radio. But this new stuff is just like, you know, a little here, a little there, and then the bells and whistles. Yeah, it's good stuff, man. It makes a lot of things a lot easier. But you really got to talk to the contesters and the DXers if you really want to find out how much improvement this new stuff is over the older stuff. Because, you know, a casual operator like me doesn't quite notice how important an intercept point is, you know, in a contest station, you know. So, you know, that's the thing. You got to ask the right people to find out. I can only tell you what I know based on my casual operation.
Go ahead, Joe. Boy, some people recognize my voice. That's pretty good. You guys amaze me. If you don't mind me commenting, KE4ZYQ, I'm listening to your conversation. I agree with all the stuff that's being talked about, but think about this, guys. These smartphones now that we have that we carry around, and if you have a lot of memory, a lot of capability and an internet connection. A lot of smartphones have such extravagant high-definition camera capability, photo and video, and you can get on the internet and go anywhere that the internet will take you. And you got a computer in your hand, and the amount of memory, you know, just depends on how much memory you got, how speed, level of phone you have, and it's amazing what you can carry and do with a cell phone. And, you know, just anywhere in the world, photography can be high definition, videos can be high def, just everything about a smartphone. You could go on and on and on like you're talking about radios. But I grew up with young, you know, Polaroid and all the easy 110 film cameras, you know, and just little film cameras. And you know, when digital came out and all the stuff for cellular came out and then the phones come out, smartphones, leaps and bounds, but I'll throw it back to whoever had it next there, KE4G like you.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, my, you know, Sean and I are talking about the evolution of radio, but it, same thing for, I feel like I lived through the technology advancements that we know today as far as modern day computing and things like that. Like, I started with a Nextel flip phone, and now I have an iPhone 16 Pro Max. Like you said, I can do pretty much anything I need to. I can run entire networks off of it. It's just insane what we've gone through in the last very short period of time. But to add to what Sean was saying, and a little, you know, another question is, how do you put a baseline? Obviously, you can put a baseline if you have extremely good antennas and a testing facility and things like that. But for your casual operator or your day-to-day guy, you know, how do you know one radio is better than another when conditions are constantly changing? No two antennas are the same. You know, nothing interacts the exact same as something else, right? Like, there's different radio. The same radio could have different sensitivities than, you know, the next radio of the same model. Like, there's just so many variables. How do you do an A-B for this radio is better than this radio? That's what my curiosity is. My antenna setup right now, which is incredibly compromised because it's in an attic. If I took a radio from the 80s and 90s, and then compared it to my 710, would it be night and day different, or would it be like, oh, I just have some more features on the 710?
Well, first of all, let me make sure I'm making it. Well, first of all, you know, I think if you tried one, you'd find you'd love it because of just all the buttons and knobs and switches and all that. There's a certain love affair with the older gear. You know, like I got an old 930, and I just love the thing. You know, and in an 830 and the Drake setup and all that, and just all the knobs and buttons and switches is just tons of fun. There was everything you could do with a radio was available, was labeled out on the front panel. You know, and there's a joy in that. And they work pretty good. They're great for phone down on, like, 75 meter, you know, where you, big signals rule. You know, it's like you're not trying to dig the weak one out, right? And I digress. That's a different topic. How do you check? Well, first of all, you run contest stations. That's probably the biggest test bed for radio equipment, you know. And these contesters, you know, they report in. They've got multiple stations. They've got the same things running side by side. DXers, you know, big-time DXers, you know, have these incredible antenna setups and all this, and they put them side by side, A-B, A-B, you know, because they're just always trying to get that last ounce of, you know, performance, and so they'll A-B, A-B. So the conditions are the same at the same time on the same antennas and everything, A-B, A-B. Now, we don't have the luxury of doing that. You know, these are big-dollar contest stations, big-dollar DXers and stuff like that. Guys like, what's his name, that does all the reviews, oh, God darn it. I'm drawing a blank. You know, these guys have spent tons of money to do this for us. Now, what can you do? You can, you know, it's a little bit more subjective, you know. But, hey, I just walked in the door. I do got to get out of here. I just didn't want to cut it really short. Joe, good morning. And but I got to get to work. So we'll pick this up. I very much enjoy this conversation. So, and there's probably other people that are curious about some of this stuff as well. But Empire, the Men Who Made Radio, I think it's Empire of the Air. It's a PBS special that I think Burns, the famous Burns documentary guy. He did it, and very good stuff. Look it up. You'll enjoy it. I got to get out of here, though. WAFU, Joe.
Sean, have a good day. Thanks for letting me jump in there. And I'll continue a couple more comments here if I can. KE4Z, like you.
All right, Sean. Yeah, I definitely want to carry on with this at another point. Have a good day. Joe, I got time for one more. I'm sitting in the parking lot here. NADBF.
Forgive me, but I just woke up and just made breakfast a few minutes ago. I'm not sure who I'm talking to name-wise, so forgive me. I know who you are probably, but I just didn't, the name doesn't come to me. I'm still waking up. But, yeah, I was just going to say, I'm going to have to dig out two Radio Shack radios, ham radios I have that are 2 meters only at the time. And I bought them way back in the, geez, what was it, 1975 or something like that. I can't remember when. You see how they work on my attic antenna, somebody like yourself, and how you received this one, and to compare radios and transmission and reception and everything. But I'll throw it back over to you, and it's nice jumping in and talking and hearing your conversation. KE4ZYQ, and listen out.
You've got to go to your NADDF, but, yeah, that's, you know, like I said, I'm new to radio. I think I'm only in 3 years now, general for two. So I'm still learning a lot on the HF side, and the further into the hobby I get, the more I care about HF. For the challenge, and not so much DX, but just the whole concept of, you know, this is simplex radio. It's a wire and a wire on a box to another wire in a box, and that's the part that fascinates me. So, yeah, we'll have to carry on with this conversation another time. I got to jump out here, but it's just fascinating stuff. So, appreciate you jumping in, Joe. Always good to hear from you. I'll catch up with you later. Have a good day. NADDF, I'll be clear.
Yeah, Dakota, forgive me for not recognizing your voice. I haven't talked to you enough lately. And like I said, I'm still waking up. But have a great day, man. Thanks for letting me jump in and listen to you guys, too. KE4ZYQ, clear.
Capacity and everything else like that. So I've been kind of lucky with XTSs and batteries and Amazon.
Yeah, I got this from, it's called Waveband Communications. I don't know, it kind of looks like they're more a commercial outfit kind of deal with, I ordered one battery and they're back ordered on it, and it ended up being a worse battery, even though it was more expensive than the one they sent, the one I was looking at, and they said they offered to give me the one I was looking at, not the one I ordered, on the same sale price, so it worked out really well, and I've been happy so far. I mean, the only fear was, will the thing work, so I charged it up, and they had the lithium on it, 5,000 milliamp hour, and when I charged it up, it's showing right at, I think it was like 4982, so I think it'll be good.
1 second, Lance, I gotta get a cup of coffee. Okay, I'm at the drive-in and they put me on hold. So yeah, I'm looking forward to helping him out a little bit. But this is an XTS 5000 UHF, right?
Yep, UHF 1. I can tell you about it when you get there, but the curtains don't match the drapes, so that's the only thing with it, they're good radios. I got one, and then the ex-wife said she wanted to get her ticket, so I got her the manual, and trying to help her study, and even got her the radio, so when she gets her ticket, we could use it, and she never got her ticket, so pretty much got made up, and hadn't really been used since.
No, very good. What are you using right now for radio?
What I'm on right now is an ID5100.
Not familiar with that one. I'm in an XPR, so. But I really, really want one of those Kenwoods that do DMR and P25 and UHF and all that other fun stuff, but they're still crazy money, and you have to make sure you get them configured right. Phil, AB8PR, found one. It was a good deal down in Dayton, but there's so many things that have to be right with the radio that, you know, you have to make sure that, you know, with Kenwood, it has to be an R2, which, you know, takes you under 470, and then wideband, and then it has to have the two entitlements. I don't know what word Kenwood uses, but basically entitlements in it for P25 and DMR, and so I mean there's a lot that has to be right in order for it to work for us.
Anyway, yeah, that's the tricky thing with these the commercial radios is, you know, all the features are in there, you just got to pay for them, so you gotta get the right licenses and pay the right piper, and you can use all the things in the radio, so. Yeah, that's kind of the annoying thing, but they put the hardware in there, it's all just, did you pay for the software?
Yeah, so I just wanted to make sure all of that was right, so, just a second here, I gotta go pay for my coffee here. Beautiful downtown New Baltimore, just a second, NAKBP. Yeah, my travels actually work out pretty good today. Visit you, and once I get your phone number, I'll just call you, and get to visit you, then I've got to go see two car dealerships right there on the same road today. We're in the business where we raise and lower the cars. When you take your car into the garage, that's what we do. So I've got to go visit something. So that'll be my day, and then we got a 9 o'clock at the management meeting, which I have to go to, which I'm probably going to be a little bit late, but nonetheless, I'll be there.
Isn't that off Lapeer Road there, like the Pal CJ and whatever?
Yep, that's one of them. And the other one is the GMC guy.
Yeah, I've been there a few times. That's kind of the best spot when we need to do body work. We'll go to the body shop there because they'll show you right to the marshalling center where you get a loaner car.
Oh, yeah. Brian over there, he does a great job. He's been involved with that car line all his life, so he's very dedicated, very professional. So yeah, he's one of the rare ones nowadays.
Yeah, that's the weird thing with our lease program is you get the free loaner car, but you have to have the car into the shop and have the work order in order to get the loaner car. So it's like, well, how do I get to the owner car without the car? So, yeah, it works out good to where they shut you off the road, you get your car, and then you're good to go.
Very good. So, what do you do for the company? I know the company you work for. What do you do for them?
So, I'm in body engineering, so my job is to tell them where they need to weld the body together. So we fly through the cab and draw X's all over the car. This is where you need to put all your spot welds, and then manufacturing will take that and program all their robots.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, we do something else I have to talk to you about professionally when I see you. So kind of goes hand in hand with that. So yeah, that's very good. Yeah, a lot of these cars are assembled, especially like with the collision part of it. You know, you used to be able to pull them and bend them and put them back, and now you cut them to where they're not damaged and go forward from that. What do they call that? Fixture-based repair. Whereas when I was growing up, you put them on a big old frame rack and you tugged them and you heated them and you got them back into shape and bondoed them and everything else. All those days are out the window.
Yeah, there's a lot of those high-strength steels are just not bump shop friendly. You know, you get a... They only get formed once, and if you try to form them again, they just crack, and, they're not the best for kind of collision repair stuff, and then you got adhesives on top of that where you got to account for those, and really, you know, you can't weld them if they've been years through the paint on them, so it's a whole different ballgame.
Oh, yeah, all things have changed. Very good. All right, Lance, I have to let you go. I got the landing gear down and all the other fancy runway terminology I use, and I'm pulling into the work. So I will call you on your cell when I get near you and make a deal out of it. So chat with you later. 88Y, I think it is, and 8KBB. Soon to be WAPD. They tell me the 6th of June.
Alright, yeah, I'm headed into No Man's Land too, so I've got a meeting. So, yeah, I'll see you later. I'll send you my number.
W8FU. JF8, ERC, WAPD.
AABB. W8FU.
WNFSM Mobile Family.
NADDF.
Sounds like it's time to go play on the big tractor.
Yep, unfortunately it's not that big of a tractor.
Oh, so it's not a big earth-moving caterpillar or anything like that?
No, it is a compact skid steer, so not big. It'll be all right. It's just not going to go fast.
Oh, man, if it was one of those big ones, big cat or something like that, I would have came out and sat at the end of the driveway and sell popcorn, make a little money.
You wouldn't have a lot of traffic, but it's not a terrible idea. But we'll see how long this takes. I'm hoping it'll only take me a couple hours, but 90 yards of crushed asphalt, that's quite a bit.
Well, I just stepped outside at the top of the hour, 15 minutes ago, and I'm looking at the skies, and it's cold, it's windy, my cell phone's saying it's 67 degrees, and I'm saying, you're full of, you know, BS, and next thing you know, 2 drops of water, that's the official rainfall at 12 o'clock, 2 drops of water hit my glass table top on my furniture out here.
Yeah, it's kind of a little gross out. I mean, my truck is warm, so that's probably why, but I'm okay with what it is outside, especially since I got to go sit in a cab with a diesel motor behind me. Truck says 69, watch says 63.
How do the skies look? I mean, does it look like it's going to rain or anything? I mean, this rain is coming, it was supposed to come from the south to the north, and I'm looking out to the west, and towards Southfield, and the skies are dark, but I can't really tell because the wind is swirling which way it's blowing. But hopefully it doesn't affect your work if it does come out your way.
Yeah, I'm looking to the north, and it looks dark, but I thought we were supposed to be in the clear today. Regardless, though, I'm all right. I'm in an enclosed cab, and I'm working with stone, so I should be fine.
All right. I wish you all the best, and hopefully, you know, get this thing wrapped up today and be able to enjoy it. I mean, you know, I'm not that much of a paver or cement person or asphalt person, but I mean, I've seen some technology though that would kind of blow your mind when it comes to asphalt. But yeah, so. I just heard you out there, and I just thought I'd say hello and wish you all the best this afternoon. And like I said, I got 2 raindrops here so far. Looking. That's the only 2 I've got, so you might be in the clear. All right, have a good afternoon. W8RCY, we're clear.
All right, Donald, appreciate you checking in. Hopefully I stay dry. I'll catch you later. NAPBS. copy on that station. Still got nothing on that. No copy. Negative.
I might say it sounds like Jack. I caught a part of the last transmission. It sounded like Jack's voice, but I can't say for sure. But if it was anybody, it might be Jack. And yeah, Jack, if you can hear us, we're not pulling you in at all.
More like Captain Jack. Can you hear me now?
I was going to say, I thought I heard a drawn-out W, like you always throw your call out. I can hear you now. What is going on with your gear, man?
Man, I was at Partridge Creek, and I could even hear the Richmond repeater. So it's not my antenna. It's this radio. Whenever I get stuck to where it only go to two channels, then it does that weird crap. So I shut it off, hit it with my fist a couple times, turn it back on, and I guess it's working.
Is that the 1000?
No, it's that TYT MD9600 put the OPGD77 on, and I also stopped in an external because it didn't come with one, and it was before I had my magnifying glasses for soldering, so I'm pretty sure something else that randomly glitches it.
Yeah, it sounds like it's time to take that thing apart again. So if that's what you were on yesterday, that makes sense, because you usually sound good, but you're even now you're still cutting out and super staticky.
Yeah, I reflashed the firmware last night, and man, I had a whole 15-degree ISS pass where it actually worked for that, too. And then it sat overnight, and I mean, it is dropping down to 11.9 volts when I'm talking, so it could be something with my truck battery. I mean, it's putting out 14 volts, so I don't get it. I never had a problem with it before. I don't know why I would all of a sudden.
I do not know, but you're better now. I can actually understand what you're saying. But yeah, yesterday you sounded like you were across the room.
Yeah, well, I really like this radio, so I think I'm going to buy another one with GPS built in already and set it all up. And if that one gives me problems, then hopefully it'll still be on a warranty when it gives me problems. I just don't know.
I wonder, I'd be curious if you put the stock firmware back on that thing, if it was firmware induced or if it's hardware.
I think it's my dumbass heated up the circuit board too freaking hot and fried something else or something lit so close to making a jump in the, you know, in the path of the current or something. I don't know. Because, yeah, I had a hard time putting that GPS in. I'm not going to lie. I had no magnifying glass goggles, and it was not fun. So I think it's something with heating up the circuit board too hot or having solder somewhere it's not supposed to be.
Yeah, that'll do it. Well, at least you know what the issue most likely is and somewhere to start.
Yeah, so I think I'm just going to live with it off and on. I might just order another one tomorrow. I think I get my first check tomorrow for the month. I just ordered a new one, be done with it, because it takes till the 15th to get here through Amazon. Although I guess I could look on my two-way radio, and they might have them in stock and come quicker, as long as they're not much more expensive.
Are you don't mind not having a detachable head, though? How do you have it in the truck?
So I got that center console that goes all the way up to the dash, and it has that little tray toward the front. I put a piece of aluminum that painted black and screwed it in so that's flat, and I got it sitting right on top, screwed onto that.
Okay, I got you. Well, hopefully you figure it out, and sucks you got to go through that. I trust me, I know the feeling of dealing with a crappy mobile signal.
Yeah, the most frustrating thing was I know the SWR and all that, and that was good because I checked it with my rig expert yesterday, and I was sitting in Partridge Creek parking lot, and literally, the only two channels I could get was Richmond and Warren, and I was going back and forth, and I could hear you guys playing as day on both from there, and I'm like, I know it's not the antenna, it's a stupid radio.
You use that for satellites then, I'm assuming?
Yeah, that's why I kind of want to have it, because like, it worked great last night. When it's working, it works great. I don't really have to get out that airline antenna, and ever since this thing, that's what I've had a problem with, the satellite. And I was ready to throw the radio, it wasn't working. But then after I did the firmware flash last night, it worked great. So, and when I pound on it, when it does that stuck on a two-channel thing, sometimes pounding on it gets it to start working again. So I guarantee it when I soldered in them two wires for the GPS, I screwed something up.
It's easy to do, man. Those things get hot. I don't know what kind of soldering setup you have, but I've cooked a couple things on accident. Especially if the iron's not hot enough and you can't get the solder to melt and you're just heat sinking everything around it, it'll happen.
Yeah, I honestly think that was probably the first or second time I soldered since, I don't know, 20 years ago. So, I mean, I used to do it a lot when I was in high school because I had electronics class, but, I mean, I know the right way and all that, but the worst part was I couldn't see. Oh, I gotta call. I'll be right back. WATP. NODBF. How's it going, Dakota? Yeah, I had a phone call. My girlfriend forgot her phone at work, so I walked in and she's standing there talking to the main boss. So I just handed her the phone and walked out, and she called me up, and she's like, why didn't you wait? I was going to introduce you. And I'm like, because you guys were talking. He didn't quit talking when I handed you the phone, so I figured it was important, so I did what I had to do, and I left.
Yeah, right after you said you had a phone call, I just had to make a phone call as I was trying to get on the freaking highway. They got 53 all jacked up over there if you're on Hall Road. I don't think you're going north, but even trying to go west, they're doing work on the overpass again, and they have someone pulled over in the on-ramp, so it takes me about 3 minutes to make it to the ramp.
Ah, that's crazy. No, I'm actually at 17 in Dodge Park now. Went down Shaner, so 19 to Shaner is a good bypass to Hall Road.
Me too. Where's lunch?
What was that?
I said, that's where I am. Where's lunch?
Oh, I don't know, man. I'm just running all over the place right now, so I don't... Man, I'm not sure if I can. Where are you thinking? And I'll see if I can fit it in, because I got, like, five things to do right now.
No, I'm kidding. I mean, if you guys were meeting for lunch, I'd probably swing and join you, but I'm at 15 in Dodge Park, and I was going to head the other way, but I figured if you guys were... You said you were at 17 in Dodge Park. I figured if you're getting together for lunch or something, yeah, I'd detour, but otherwise, get on my projects as well.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take a rain check because I got to get to my parents, and then I got to run and get something for my dad in the other direction, and then I got an appointment, two appointments later on today, so yeah. Bomber, we'll do it one of these days.
Yeah, I got stiffed by Motorola yesterday. I sent one of my other guys out with them, and they bought them lunch today. We just finished up, and they're like, see you later. I'm like, oh, I don't get Motorola lunch? What the hell?
Well, how does that work out? That's crazy. The one lunch a week, I guess it is, huh?
Well, now that they're done, I think they just want to skedaddle. I don't blame them. I think Dakota was in there, so go ahead. I'm going to maybe stop at Benamiglia's and get me a famous Benamiglia sub and go eat it at home. No worries. I'm just making my way home to try to fight the traffic on Hall Road. Sick of the construction that they got going right there, and I forgot all about it. So, racing home to go play.
What was that last part? You said you were racing home to do what? Alright, I don't know if you got to flip channels or what. It's all static now.
Alright, Sean, for reference, 26 Mile Road is about as far north as I can go on Warren now.
Wow, that's really odd. I hit Warren at my house sometimes. Maybe it's different elevation or something.
Well, when's the last time you checked? Because I'm having problems with the receiver. I'm not sure what exactly, but there's definitely some issues.
All right, I got to take a ride out there later tonight around 10 o'clock or so. So I'll see if anybody's out and give it a whirl.
Yeah, I usually run Warren. God, I'll be north of 34 and forget to switch because it sounds so good and I'm still getting out. But yeah, 26. That's as far as I made it. All right. Well, if I can't get to it before, well, let's see. What's today? Thursday. So yeah, I'm not going to get to it today. So. Probably not tomorrow. I'll grab everything I need. Maybe after breakfast on Saturday, I'll go figure it out. I'm not complaining. Just giving you a data point. I don't know, Don. What do you think? I thought he was whining.
I think there was a little bit of, oh man, I gotta change the channel too soon, but it's okay.
You know, that's one thing I'll tip my hat to Yaesu on, is they got the channel up-down buttons right on the top of the mic, and it's super convenient to just bang through them like gears. I start on Romeo, I go to Richmond, and then I go to Warren, and I go to UMP, and then I just reverse that on my way home.
Yepers, you know, I mean, what I really like, you know, and I said this is I want to get a receiver system on the Warren and get receivers, you know. I want you to have Richmond's always going to be Richmond. I don't intend on having coverage, you know, a receiver in Richmond. But I would have one in Mount Clemens, and then I'd like to get one out toward Pontiac somewhere, and maybe one in Detroit. And so I'd like Warren to have that. And then, you know, you'll be able to run that all over the damn Pell's Half Acre with that system. And then if you get way up there, you can do Richmond. And I want to improve that a little bit. I got plans to improve that. Get another 40, 50 foot out of it and a much better antenna. So, you know, as good as it works now, we can make it better. We can make them better. So, but, you know, just one thing at a time, man.
Yep, it's good system though, as is, and all you can do is improve more, because it's already great.
I can't even imagine Richmond doing better. It kills it out here.
Yeah, I got about 50 foot more I can get out of it, and about another, let's see, I got four bay now, so that would be, four bay would be 60 B. Let's ignore losses. And an 8 to a 16. So I got about another 6 BB of antenna and another 40, 50 foot of height I can give it. So that's a bit.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you did that yet, because I knew you said you at least had more height than maybe a different antenna you were going to put up there. Man, because I was sitting in Partridge Creek Mall at the right near Hall Road, you know, the parking lot toward Hall Road, and I was getting it earlier today.
Yeah, we had plans for several things up there, but I'm thinking we could do that pretty easy. So I mean, any way you slice it up, I need tower work. So got to get the crew down to do some work, put those better antennas up, run another hard line feed. So, and we could either have, I'm thinking about a DMR machine up there, you know, an MI5 machine, and then improve the Richmond. And there was talk of a DMRS. I don't know if I even care anymore.
I'm not laughing, but I am laughing at your attitude towards DMRS now.
Yeah, I think that would be great to have DMR up there. That's my opinion, because it's 6 miles from my house.
Yeah, we were actually talking about two, an MI5 and then a something, you know, Brandmeister-based. So two different ones, and then you'd have, you know, the full gamut. And, you know, and, the, you know, of course, this one, or, you know, the 225 and then a GMRS. You know, four machines out of there. And, the biggest thing is it services St. Clair County really well. And there's just not a lot that services St. Clair County. So because of that, I'm trying to maximize it.
Well, if you do all that snazzy stuff, I'll be able to talk DMR on an HT in my backyard. I got to take this. Be right back. NODDF.
Yep, and I'm just pulling up to the Polish market, so I got to run inside there.
All right, and I've been in my parents' driveway for like 5 minutes, so I'm going to do what I got to do here. I'll catch you guys later. WACPP.
Okay, guy's license plate in front of me is 23392RF. It should be 14313 or... something like that, RF. Hmm. All right, later. W8FU.
I could hear you, but I couldn't hear you.
Hey, you over here? Yeah, I could hear you loud and clear, though.
Hey,
creepy. Okay, where were you? Where are you?
Silver Bell, M24. This is in the Oak Palace Chrysler dealership.
Roger. You on Warren right now? Sorry, didn't catch it. Just caught a little bit.
Yeah, I'm on Warren. I'm climbing up, so I should be getting a lot better.
Well, Todd, you can make this warm, but you can't make that warm. Oh, wait, you're on a handheld on the other one, right?
Yeah. I only have five or 5.5 watts on the other one. plus five dead antenna that I'm using for the handheld. I've never swept to see if it's any good. Right, yeah, never mind. I thought all things being equal, but they're not, so. Anywho, hey, what county is Paw Paw in? We were trying to remember, figure that out. It's not Allegan, is it? No, Van Buren. Allegan is the one with the good radio system. This one's Van Buren. All right. Yeah, I was just trying to, we were talking about it, and I was asking if they were talking, we were talking about the storms and radio systems and all that stuff, and the guy I was working with, one of the engineers, he said, I don't think there's anybody left that's not on the system in the state. And I go, well, as a matter of fact, did he know, I take it, I'm sure he did, he knew about it. No, this is the guy from Mission One. They put in new towers, microwave stuff. They don't really keep up on the stuff, you know, outside of that area of expertise. That makes sense. Okay, very good. So did you get all your work stuff done for the day? Finished up, so I'm going to go grab some lunch and then figure out what to do with the rest of the day, so probably just go home and do a couple, about an hour or two's worth of email follow-ups, and that'll be it.
Yep, I looked at one guy's compressor, and lo and behold, I got there, and it was working. So, that was a nice, short, quick service call. I got the other things done that I'm supposed to get done. I met with Lance. He's a nice person. Got Dave's radio. And so far, all is good. We don't have to have an old, retired, get ready for the garbage, XTS charger laying around here with you.
I got more XTS chargers you could shake a stick at.
Okay. I'd like to get a vehicle. I could get my hands on one before I get to run it.
Sorry, you just got the drive-through trying to navigate.
Worried, I figured it was either that or a phone call. So, I figured I had the system solid enough. That was the first time I've ever been on that complex, the Chrysler complex or whatever it's, Lando's, whatever it's called. It's quite a nice place. I wasn't inside, but from the outside it looked pretty impressive.
Hold on, let me clear the drive-through window here. I'll be right back. WAFU.
Hey, Wally, there's a really good Chrysler museum there on that site down towards Squirrel and the Squirrel side of it, and I think M59. Some of the old Chrysler cars are there. If you're a classic car buff or have any interest in it, it's really, really nice. Have a good afternoon, guys. W8RCY.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to take that advice and go look. I'm not so much a car buff as more of a how did we get to where we are today buff. So I do enjoy that. I like looking at all those old pictures of, you know, Ford when he was building cars mass production, Chrysler when they were building cars mass production. I am that kind of a buff, so I am intrigued with Michigan and its advances towards building cars. So I will go check that out.
Okie dokie. You decide, throw it your way. W8RCY, gentlemen, carry on. Have a good afternoon.
I've only seen two raindrops hit my glass table on my deck out here, so looks like the rain. Oh, the sky's looking like it's blueing up too. I mean, I see some blue out there now. It'll be a good afternoon. Take care.
Are you on your XPR?
No, I'm on the Wuxon, the 8-watt, and I'm semi-horizontal on the couch.
Just for giggles, get off the couch, grab the other one, and let's see how it sounds. Get very different. Come here, you guys.
Stand by.
So I cleared the drive-through, but I've only got a half mile to go here before I get home.
Yeah, we were doing an experiment. I wanted to see if I could tell the difference between Donald's ocean radio, which back on my phone, and the big app. I wanted to see if I could see and hear a difference.
Let me make this my last as I'm pulling in the driveway, but remember, if you hear a difference, it'll be fidelity or... that'll be the difference. If there's a signal difference, it's all about the antenna. It has nothing to do with the wattage or the brand. All right, back into the driveway. Catch you guys. WNFU.
We shall chat again. We are working tomorrow. Maybe we can go grab a bite. NAKPP. W8RCY is back and on the moto.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know as much different.
Okie dokie. Well, heard Sean check out. He still can hear me. Have a good afternoon to you, sir. And, I'm going to go back and find my way to the couch. This radio test is brought to you by W8RCY. Have a good day.
Very good. Well, in order to be kind of significant, I probably should have been moving, but I am. So, I'm going for a bunch of trees and stuff.
Very good. Have a great day.
NAKPP.
KBA-DOO portable in Chelsea.
This is KFA-EDQ, and I'm monitoring the channel frequency.
W-H-E-P-T. W8CPT.
WNFU ABAP here.
ABAP here, test. 1, 2, test, test.
This is W8DIJ calling. W8DIJ Echolink calling and standing by for any call.
W8DIJ, this is K0BTO. How copy?
Okay, I think you said K0BTO. I'm not sure. This is W8DIJ. Good evening. Thanks for taking my call. My name is Greg, Golf Romeo Echo Golf, located in Waterford, Michigan. Over.
Roger, roger. This is also Greg, Golf Romeo Echo Golf, Kilo Zero Bravo Tango Lima. I guess two Gregs make it right. What do you say?
Yeah, it's not too often something like that happens. I think it's been a long time since I met anyone with the same name. But nice to meet you. Where are you located there, Greg? Over.
Roger, I'm actually in the mobile right now. I'm between Holly and Fenton right now.
Okay, got a good signal. We got a good signal into the probably the Fenton repeater, I would think, which is, I think, linked to this and a number of other repeaters. So how was your day? Hopefully it was a good, prosperous day. I got a few things done. I'm retired and been retired since 2007, but I'm not collecting dust. Over.
Roger, roger. Yeah, I got a day off work. Just had lunch with a friend and told some more stories and went back to the house, did some gaming, reading, relaxing. My job is a little on the stressful side, so I try to just focus on doing absolutely nothing and just giving my brain the mental break. You know, I can't do this, you know, work 24/7, you know, all day, all night, you know, kind of thing. Like, yeah, there's stuff I want to do, but I can't do it on my off days. It's like, nope, I need a break.
And that's okay, Greg. That's what you should do. Nobody says you have to do that. I used to do the same thing when I was single. If something was stressful for me, I would just go off and do something I enjoyed doing. And back then it was getting on a motorcycle, but I don't do that anymore. I find geocaching kind of relaxing because it requires the focus of my phone, which is, of course, GPS, and watching the directions and eventually finding the cache. It's relaxing. I'm out there in the open with some fresh air. Sometimes I'm out in the woods looking for these things, and I don't know, just getting a chance to get out. So there's nothing wrong with what you're doing. Back to you. And I was wondering, what do you do? I think, did you say you were telling war stories? Were you in the military? Over.
Roger, roger. That's a solid affirmative there. Yeah, I just, a friend I met through work, and I work in retail, so it's easy to come across a lot of other veterans. Luckily, the nice part is where I work, there's a lot of good people, so I enjoy it. It's not bad. But geocaching, that actually sounds kind of fun, kind of interesting. I don't know if I've given it a try yet. Just kind of see, like, what's out there kind of thing. I'm more into, you know, the usual veteran stuff, you know, guns, hunting, gaming, the usual. Nothing too fancy, I suppose, but Yeah, I got my new Yaesu 510 with the DRAS and all that good jazz. And, yeah, I got to try to get back over to the east side. It's kind of hard trying to find a fusion repeater over here. I know the one in Clarkston has fusion, but they don't want you using fusion on it because they don't want people not being able to use it. So that's an FM-only repeater. They need to update repeater book. That's the app that I use on my phone when I'm trying to catch stations or program the radio, all that good stuff.
WATIJ. Well, the Clarkson repeater, I know very well. And at first they said, you know, use it after 10 p.m. But I don't think it's going to matter. There's hardly anybody on it anymore because it's been having trouble. It's being desensed by the cell phone towers up there, and that's what we suspect happening. The owner keeps talking about moving the antenna on the other side of the tower, but I don't know how soon that's going to happen. So I don't think it would matter if you got on there and used the fusion, as long as you had somebody on the other end to talk to. And let's see, there was something else I was going to ask you. Oh yeah, well, I was going to tell you about geocaching. In geocaching, you get the app on your phone. I don't know. I have an iOS, so I have the geocache app for that for my phone, and I've been geocaching for a long time, but I don't have a lot of caches compared to a lot of people. I used to do it when in the days when the only thing that was available was the computer. I didn't have a phone, and then I had a handheld GPS to locate these caches. Well, these phones, these telephones, these cell phones are a lot more accurate than the handheld GPSs. I don't know if you're aware of that, but within, I think, I've found caches are, you know, within probably 5-6 feet. That's how accurate they were. Before, I could be 10-15 feet away from the cache when I was using a handheld GPS. Back to you, Greg.
Oh, roger, roger. Yeah, I got iOS also. I mean, after, you know, after almost 20 years of Android, I kind of got a little ticked off, you know, because the Note series was phenomenal, outstanding, really good performance. I had all the even numbers on the Note series, and then after the 10, they dropped the ball. They said, we're not doing this anymore. We're not making the Note series. And then I switched over to the Galaxy S23 Ultra, which I thought was, you know, okay and decent, and it turns out it was a piece of junk, and my old Note 10 was better, faster, stronger, more reliable, you know, everything, all of the above, right? And then, you know, I said to myself, you know, do I really want to keep going down this rabbit hole? You know, do I really want to keep dealing with this crap, or do I want to give Apple a try? So here I am. I'm on the Apple side. And probably the biggest reason why is, you know, now it's gotten, not much experience, but now it's gotten a lot better because they're using AI with the technology, and they're also, the reliability is going up a little bit. I mean, the flagship Galaxy phone has better performance than the flagship iOS phone. Sure, that's fine and dandy. But the biggest thing is the charger. You know, now it's more prevalent that there's wireless charging with iOS, and there's also finally USB-C, which makes total sense. You know, they had that lightning cable garbage for years, and that was one of the reasons why I said, nope, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to buy all new phone chargers. I'm not going to do this, you know, just to have my devices. So then I finally got that. I got the toys, and now it's fine. You know, it's not bad. But I'm almost at the QSO here. Probably going to have to wrap it up soon. K0BTL, back to you.
Yeah, K0VTL, WATIJ. Very good. Well, hey, thank you for your service. I wonder what branch you served in, and I guess we'll have to save it for another time if we get a chance to talk to you. And one more question real quick. You said you read. I wonder what you like reading. I think you said books. What subjects? Over.
Roger. I enlisted in the Corps right out of high school, and I went to Iraq a few times. I had enough of that, so I got out and, you know, did what every other guy does. You know, you go to college, you kind of relax and you kind of, you know, learn to adjust. You learn to be an adult all over again. But it's really weird. You never really do adjust. Is the thing. You just more or less fool yourself into being a civilian, I guess you could say. Books, really, just whatever tickles my fancy. Some days I'll read about the Cold War and the KGB. Other days it'll be law books. Other days it'll just be sci-fi. It really just kind of depends on what stack of books I got laying around the house, kind of thing. Because I really just like to read. You know, I enjoy the serenity of it, and, you know, just really being able to relax and focus, all that good stuff.
Yeah, okay, Greg. So you enlisted into the Marine Corps, I take it. So very good. I know a few Marines. They're some of the nicest people I ever met. And I wouldn't mind being in a foxhole with them. But anyway, I'm going to let you go. Nice talking to you. And that's a good way to stay focused. Good way to relax sometimes is to just read. And hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you again. I do appreciate you coming back to me and the QSO. 73, I'll listen out. This is W8VIJ, Waterford, Michigan.
WAVIG, this is K0BTL at the QSO. You're just going to put the bells and whistles on it. But, yes, sir, absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, a lot of veterans, you know, I can't speak for everyone in every generation, being that I'm, an Iraq War veteran. You know, we're a little bit different, I guess you could say, kind of thing. But I guess you could say the biggest reason for the nicety is, you know, it's valid, it's earned, and it beats, you know, the latter, I guess you could say, in a matter of speaking. Lots of stuff I can't say over the air. Let's just put it that way. Hi. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, go ahead, log it in, all that good jazz. I'll probably be around, but I don't know what all repeaters, the Holly repeater, is linked up with, but I'm sure there's probably more contacts and more to come further on down the page. This is K0BTL 73s. Going to hop off here and have some food, have some dinner. Have a good night, Greg. Nice meeting you. K0BTL, clearing out.
Yeah, okay, Greg. I just want to let you know, I know somebody that served that also served in that Iraqi deal. He's a ham operator. His name's Shannon. He goes by the name Stray. Call us W8SCS. He lives in Clarkston. I think he served in the U.S. Army. Okay, and again, nice meeting you, and enjoyed the conversation. Hope to do it again sometime. 73W8BIJ. Have a good evening.
Easy, Greg. Take her easy. K0BTL out. This is KF8EDQ, and I'm monitoring the channel.
W8FU.
Wanted to key up and give you something else to compare to. I'm talking in a regular tone of voice about 4 inches from the mic, so this is something else to compare it to.
So, in comparison, this is the hand mic. Every other setting, other than the hand mic, is the same. I'm probably an inch and a half to 2 inches from my face at a 45 that this is hitting.
Yeah, so you're down in amplitude level from Eric, but your fidelity seems to be good in that. So, I don't know. You're looking for perfection. You know, you're pretty good. I wouldn't worry too much about it. To me, it's a little low. You're down from Eric a bit. But how do I compare to Eric? You know, I mean, maybe you and I are the same, and Eric's louder. You know, maybe I'm way down from him, or I'm way up on Eric. Who knows, you know?
To me, I would say that if Eric's 4 inches from his mic, which seems ridiculous to me because it's just very, very far, he's quieter than you, but, like, still probably louder than me.
Roger. Okay, this is about 2 inches. It's about 2 inches from the microphone, Roger. Yeah, see, that sounds real good to me. I'm going to back off just a hair. I've been told that I'm a little hot. So Eric and I should be pretty similar right now. And you're close, but you're a little bit down to me from Eric.
Yeah, so when you backed off and Eric got on, you guys sound very similar. But again, I drilled out this hole and I'm probably about, you know, half an inch or something or an inch from like the hole.
Yeah, you're still down a little bit. So it's not bad though. Don't let's not over, you know, let's not overplay it. You sound okay. There's no gain setting, eh? You know, you run up the gain a little bit so you don't have to get right up on top of it. You know, of course, then again, you know, you start picking up background noise. Yeah, let me jump in the house. I just pulled up. I ran out to the store real quick, and I got to get inside, so I'll let you monkey with a bit. I'll be back in here in a few moments. WAFU, go ahead, Eric.
Yep, okay. Well, I agree with Sean's assessment. You know, you sound decent, just a little bit on the light side, but it's not to the point where I got to turn up my radio full blast or anything. I mean, if I was listening to you, like me listening to you and Sean, I wasn't like reaching for the volume control. You know, he was just a little bit louder than you. But sometimes people are so low that you like keep playing with the volume control. So, like I said before, I'll stand by my last opinion that you're in the range, you're in the low end of the range, but you're acceptable.
Yeah, that's like Captain Don was saying that like yesterday, like he had me like almost at full on his whatever his handheld, like his Birchcom, whatever they sell. Like, he had that, like, at full for it. And that's obviously not good. So, like, it's concerning that, like, for that, you have to do that. But, like, it shouldn't be that way. And, like, I've been told when I was doing net control on Double Nickel that, like, people were saying that, like, I was low, which, again, I shouldn't be. It's like mobile station, outdoor antenna, like the reason that I should be like low audio. So, you know, that's why I've been trying to ferret out this problem.
Well, WAVAP, at this point I'd be Googling if there's a a pot on your radio, a deviation pot, you know. Why is my note keying up? Something's going on here. I think I'm tripping my note. Yeah, I would check online and see if there's some way to there's a
spurious emissions.
Spurious emissions. Yeah, I'm getting some spurious emissions on my note. See if there's a deviation pot.
I've been noticing that as I've been watching the monitor. Seems like when you're talking, it's like tripping every so often. So, yeah, I don't know if it's spurious or is this you're overdriving it because it's so close to like where you're talking.
I fixed that. I shut my note down.
Not on the Superman monitor anymore. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't have to deal with this. Like, I don't know if I should be concerned. Like, I kind of want to sell this other radio just because, like, I don't really need it. If this one works fine, but, like, at the same time, it doesn't seem to, but it works perfect for, like, visual stuff, like, back and stuff.
Yeah, okay, John. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. Like I said, I have to talk to my friend. He must have a different Bluetooth mic, because this is just really loud in the car. So I guess I should ask my friend which type of mic, Bluetooth mic, he has, or what his settings are, because he's like super loud.
This is KS8 EDQ, and I'm monitoring the frequencies.